Diving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. How's everyone doing?
Good morning. I'm super hungover.
Oh. Party hardy last night?
It's so crazy because, like, I'm really only drinking like once a week, but that like for date night. And for some reason I like can't hang anymore.
Like what, when you say drinking, how many are we talking? How many?
I mean, I drink tequila straight, but.
Right. As we all know.
Yeah.
As we all know.
As you'd all expect from Tanya.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't think very much. I think I had like two shots last night. Like. Equivalent, like in a little cup, and I sipped it the whole night.
Like over ice? Just like two shots over ice? Yeah.
With lime.
So one cup?
Yeah.
Huh. Did you eat?
Yeah. I know. I'm so confused.
I mean, I'm drinking so little that if I have anything, I feel not necessarily hungover because I'm not drinking that much, but like I feel it the next day. I'm like, wow, I'm going to have to build my tolerance, especially, you know what I keep thinking about is like the wedding weekends that I have next year. Like I'm going to need to build tolerance for those because they're going to be wild.
Yeah.
I can't be like weak going into those.
No.
What happened last night? So what was the date night, dinner? Like what did we do?
Yeah, it was date night dinner, and then we've kind of been doing this thing where we find questions, like those like random like quizzes, like getting to know you things. And it's so funny because we found one that was like 30 questions, so we were going to do all 30 last night. And we literally only got to the first two, and it took us like three or four hours to get through the first two. And the question was,
yeah,
how important is your job to you? And then I can't remember what the second one was, but it obviously led to like very much further conversation just about like his career and like his path and what he wants to pursue and like what he'd want, why he did that and like what steps he can take to get there. And then like my career and like how, where I want to go and what I want to do. And it was just like kind of crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Those were not simple getting to know you questions. Those were like conversations that need to be had in a relationship.
Totally. But it's actually kind of cool because I don't know, you don't, it's like I talk to him every day, but you don't really get into that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's almost like in my head, I think of that as kind of like not boring, but not something I want to just, it's not something I'm going to just bring up out of nowhere without having a reason to, I guess.
Right. And our careers are so different that I don't even really I'm still kind of understanding what he does in the bigger sense. And so it was good.
Wow.
I highly suggest these getting to know you games.
Yeah. So maybe like by the end of the year, you'll get through all 30 of those.
Maybe.
You're like, we need to limit it to one per evening. We're going to do this with alcohol.
It's so funny. It was like 9:30 and we were like, did we only answer one question so far?
Yeah, y'all both. Well, he talks a lot and like asks a lot of questions. So I can imagine with you like sharing your side that he probably has like a lot of questions of, well, how'd you feel when you did this?
100%.
Yeah. So I get it. Yeah. But that's good. I mean, sometimes those questions are so, I don't know. Like you just have an answer and then you move on. So it's good that you'll have like in-depth conversations about things like that. Because I think a lot of people would have liked to know how important someone's career was before they got into a relationship and then found out that their career was a major priority. Sometimes maybe over them in a sense, you know, people feel like they're not like as priority as someone's work. So.
Totally. And especially like in this time, because it's like quarantine. So everything's like a little bit looser and like, you know what I mean? Like not looser. But it's like our schedules are way more open now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Than they ever have been. So it's like kind of just like navigating what that looks like post-quarantine, if post-quarantine ever happens.
Have there been any further movie exchanges, or are we stuck on Back to the Future and Grey's Anatomy pilot?
No other movie exchanges, but we're getting close to finishing Schitt's Creek, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show.
I know, you do love it. I tried to watch, like, the first couple episodes, and then everyone was like, the first season's hard to get through, but once you get through that, it's great. And I'm like, so I have to get through a whole first season of just not liking it before it gets good?
No, if you don't like it in the first season, you're never going to. It's the same humor the whole time.
Oh, I've just seen so many people say, like, it's not that great until the second season.
Oh, but you could probably start on the second season and just be fine.
I wouldn't be missing anything?
Mm-mm.
Oh. That's interesting. Kind of like Friends, I guess?
Totally like Friends.
I love Friends. Friends is just... I don't know if there will ever be another Friends in my life. Mark, do you like Friends?
I do like Friends, but my wife really loves Friends, and so I've been going to sleep to Friends for many, many, many years until now. We don't have the HBO Max yet, I guess.
Yeah.
So I know it pretty well. My favorite episode is the quiz episode where they swap apartments.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Chandler yeah.
Bong.
Chandler Bong and Joey wearing all of Chandler's clothes.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I went ahead because when they took it off Netflix, I was feeling really lost and confused. So I just bought seasons on Amazon. So
me too. I bought them on iTunes.
And Smart. Now I feel like I'm going to want HBO Max because it has other things to offer. And it's just going to be like, it's overwhelming the amount of things that we need to get the shows that we love. Wait, Tanya, are you going out of town next week or this week or something?
Yeah, I'm going to go out of town. I'm going to go to Palm Springs for a little mini vacay.
With Red Star?
Correct.
Oh, funsies.
Yeah.
Y'all have this. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Is this the second getaway together?
Third getaway together.
Wow.
Wait.
In the entirety. We went away for his birthday in February.
No, I know that one. What's the other one?
We went to Palm Springs. We went back to Santa Barbara a few weekends ago.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
When everything opened up again.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you feel about everything opening up again, by the way? Because I'm feeling pretty sonsy about it.
You know what's interesting? The things that I've gone to have all been very, like, open. Like, I've gone to restaurant. I went to a restaurant around here, and it was, like, the outdoor part. And I've been going to – I've walked to my gym now 2 days in a row to go to the gym, and I can't get myself to, like, go in there. So I end up just, like, doing my run around the neighborhood like I've been doing the past 3 months.
I don't know why. I totally get it because I think of gyms as being like just a home of germs and sweat and like
best circumstances.
Yeah, like that would be the last place I would be entering, I think, right now. Like
when would you feel comfortable going into a gym?
It's not about when. It's about now. No, right? It's about your gut. You get there and you're staring at the door and your gut is telling you bad, bad, bad. If that goes away someday, great, go to the gym. But we just suspended our memberships for 60 days because we're not close to being able to go back to a gym. And we went to dinner last weekend with some friends at Presto Pasta, which I've mentioned before that we go to all the time because it's my youngest's favorite. But we sat outside and all that stuff. But the whole time inside, I'm like, this feels wrong. I don't like this. This is not a good idea. I'm not
really
happy right now. Yes, because I don't think this is smart. There's no evidence that this is getting any better. We open for economic reasons, not for health reasons. Like, this is not any safer than it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Mark. I'm like, if you feel safe doing it, then be cautious and go. But I also am kind of in the same boat of being like, I don't have a need for it. Like, I don't need to go out to public restaurants. But if I get that urge of like, I really need that experience, it is it's nice knowing that people's businesses are thriving, that the economy is like opening up again for the sake of people's livelihood. But at the same time, I just hope that people listen to that feeling of like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for it, and don't force themselves just because it feels like everything's normal again. Because we don't have any answers for when things are going to be normal or like when this is going to be over. So I agree. Like, Tanya, you feel comfortable going out to eat because it's outside, everything feels safe, they're checking your temperature, but yet you don't feel safe going to the gym, and that's okay. But there's probably people in there who feel nothing about going to the gym or just sweating all over the place and not.
I know. And I'm like, it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? Like, I've been running outside for the past 3 months and I can keep doing what I've been doing, but I'm just going to keep every day. I'm going to keep going by and just seeing it when I'm ready. If I'm ready.
If I know you and how obsessive you've been about making sure everything's clean in your own home, I don't know when that level of comfort's just going to enter your body passing the gym. But, you know,
like I know they sent like a 2-page length of like the safety protocol that they're like implementing now at the gym. And I still read it and was like, it's going to be a no for me.
Oh, it was like 10 pages long.
Just so long, like so long. And you have to work out in your mask. Everybody has to wipe down.
That's not healthy.
Everybody has to wipe down their own equipment. And I'm like, I don't trust anybody to wipe down their own equipment. Like, what are we doing?
Seriously. I just think about how hard I'm breathing and how much I'm sweating when I'm working out. The thought of having a mask on makes me want to throw something hard. I'd be so angry.
Yeah. Well, and I'm like, I'm still Cloroxing like my doorknob handles and things in my apartment.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way you're ready for a gym experience. Are they like checking temperature before you go in and stuff?
They said, yeah, they said they checked temperature and there's only 25 people allowed in at one time. So it's like first come, first serve.
I don't get the check temperature thing. Everything we read says that you can be asymptomatic, completely no symptoms, and still as contagious as hell if you have this thing. So the temperature thing is going to catch some people, but not most people.
Right.
I mean, I think it's just a level of extra, you know, precaution. Maybe it makes people feel safer. I don't know. Someone said, which, like I said, there's so many things going around, but someone said that you have to be talking to someone within, like, not even closer than 6 feet, like a meter, I guess, is what was said.
What's a meter?
It's like, I would say like
4 feet?
This?
It doesn't really translate to feet, but it's, you know, because
it's
of
like
the
close,
British door
but not
system.
Like.
It's like 3.2 feet.
Okay.
So like that close and be talking to them for like 30 minutes to contract it.
Oh, well,
no, I don't think that's true.
But that's what I'm saying. That's someone just came out. That was an article that just came out, I guess. And I'm like, well, I don't feel like I'm going to do that. I'm not going to test the theory.
What about these girls in Florida that went to a crowded bar and 16 friends all got the coronavirus? They didn't spend 30 minutes.
A crowded bar if you're just sitting around in a room with people.
Yeah, and I'm sure they were pretty there for probably more than 30 minutes.
Yeah. I've seen some of the places, like, of people in, you know, crowded space, and I'm like, they're just, what do they think's going to happen if you're rubbing shoulders with that many people, sharing, touching glasses and tables, and you're bound to get something. Even if you just get the common cold, you're really, truly asking for it.
And this is way more contagious than the common cold.
I know, but I'm saying, like, even aside from that, if you're going out into those crowded places before coronavirus, you're taking that chance of getting something that someone else is infected with. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about Juneteenth because, well, we're recording this on Friday, Juneteenth. And I've always seen this in my calendar as, like, it's always marked, you know, automatically on our phones. Mm-hmm. And I've never known what it was, or I've never even looked into what it was. And I feel dumb that I never like took the time to recognize this thing that is important enough for it to be in every single one of our phones as a holiday. And yet no one has ever talked about it until this year. And I think it's really cool that people are finally acknowledging it, but also kind of like, did you know what it was before?
I did know what it was.
Oh.
But I mean, I've never seen it as celebrated as it has been this year.
Yeah. I find like it horrifying how little we learned in school. I really have been troubled by that lately because, you know, Juneteenth, when I was a kid, I was excited because June 19th is Garfield's birthday. And then I'd see this Juneteenth on the calendar. I didn't know what that meant. So I knew more about Garfield the Cat's birthday than this historic day in U.S. history because it was never mentioned in school. Nobody ever saw about what it was. I just found out in the last 2 weeks about the Tulsa Massacre.
Yeah.
Black Wall Street. I'd never heard of that before. None of that is being taught in schools, and it's fascinating and horrifying.
I'm curious, Mark, if your girls, if schools will implement more history and like teaching the kids of like Black history way more now that so many of us have said we're horrified that we did not learn anything in school. I hope that they make changes to that so that younger people right now who have a chance to learn all of this now get that opportunity.
Yeah, it was like in the book White Fragility when she was saying like they don't say white history, but that's essentially what you learn in school.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fully.
And it's so important. And I think that's what's been so eye-opening about like the past couple of weeks and is learning, like watching the documentary 13th and being, I just saw someone on the Facebook group either last night or this morning post and be like, I cannot believe the amount of things that I knew nothing about, like very important things. So
there are a couple of those, actually, those holidays like that are just in our phone.
I know.
Yeah.
What's the
other
one?
I can't think of. Oh my God. What was the one last month? There was something last month in there. Stand by.
Well, was it like, did you figure out it was important or?
Yeah. I mean, I just like see it in my calendar and then I just look it up. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. See?
I never knew what Purim was when I was a kid. I know now that it's a Jewish holiday, but there was a lot of stuff on the calendars I didn't know, and Purim was one of them.
Yeah, I guess the smart thing, the intelligent thing would be to see it and be like, what is that? Why is it in my phone? And then look it up like Tanya, but not me. I just go, huh. Another holiday.
It's actually kind of sad. The reason why I do it is because I see it in my calendar and I'll just like Google it just to see if it's something like for work purposes or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is this something that I should bring up on the morning show or, you know what I mean? Like that type of thing.
Yeah. I'm just glad that it's something that's going to be celebrated now and moving forward that people are aware so that it can get the recognition that it deserves and that Black people feel as validated as white people when we celebrate 4th of July. Because thinking about all those years before Juneteenth when 4th of July was meant nothing to them because they weren't free yet is like, Mark, I liked the word horrifying is pretty accurate.
Yeah. And I also, and people are probably going to disagree with me on this, but I have to say, I love the statues coming down. I think it's really, if statues are upsetting people, let's get rid of them. I really don't put that much stock. Or, I don't know, they're just statues. We put them up for whatever reason and probably the wrong reason. There's plenty of people that you don't want to forget all that stuff. People say, oh, you're erasing history. You're not. Putting it in a museum, putting it in the proper context, that's where they should be. In a public square for everyone to see every day on their way to work, that's not where they should be. So I'm very okay with all of these statues.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. But, anyways, well, we have a special guest today. We have Shayna Taylor on, and we're going to talk to her in a little bit. So we will be right back with that.
All right. We have a guest in the OR today. I'm very excited to bring in Shayna Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so, well, we first met because obviously through Ryan Seacrest. But recently why I wanted to have you on the podcast is because you are, you're very obsessed with your Instagram and you're very into like health and wellness. And I've been having, ever since the pandemic hit, I've been having some issues like sleeping. And my boyfriend also has issues sleeping. And we started, we tried your CBD line and our sleep has changed dramatically. And so I think,
Makes me so happy.
And I mean, his sleep's been bad for a really long time. And like mine just started with the pandemic because I never had problems sleeping ever before. I think it just has to do with like anxiety and just everything that's going on. And so I just wanted to have you on just to kind of talk about different things that people can do right now to kind of combat that anxiety or, you know, how it helps.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously CBD is a really, really good holistic way to help with sleep and calm the nervous system and help with anxiety and like all those things. But I think the best beneficial way to really, you know, get an overall wellness holistic way of feeling less stressed or less, you know, emotional or less all these things is more than just taking CBD. It's truly like a full lifestyle that you have to kind of start implementing, right? So it's kind of like how I explain to people when they say like, oh, well, the CBD didn't work for me tonight when I was sleeping. And I'm like, okay, well, did you eat late? Did you, you know, there's like so many other things that could affect your sleep. Did you look at your phone right before you go to, you went to bed? Did you stare at a television? Did you, you know, there's like all these, you know, there's so many different things that we don't realize causes more stress and anxiety and blue light and things that, you know, kind of make it worse for us. And so in a time like this where it's overly, overly heightened, it's the time where you are supposed to pay attention the most to yourself and put a little more self-care in and do those things that you know relax you, and you know, taking a bath an hour before bed and then taking CBD on top of it, or just taking a bath and like drinking a tea and like not looking at your phone at all, or not looking at the news, or not looking at, you know, I think there's just with social media and everything, it can be really over, it just, it doesn't help with the anxiety and stress. And I know we all have to pay attention because it's kind of our source to get information to stay up to date with all the current things. But I think when you are feeling that most heightened anxiety, like I was even last week, you know, I normally am not a news watcher so much. And of course, with everything going on, I was just like, every day I had the news on all day and was just staring at it and watching it. And I think everybody was. And it was making, because I also don't really have sleep problems or really anxiety issues that much, except for when I do public speaking or things like this, or like, you know, stuff that like, you know, you're talking or get it, you're nervous. But I had so much stress and anxiety and emotion. I literally, like, I walked into my office with my girls and just started crying for no reason. Like literally sobbing. And then we all kind of took turns sobbing because it was like, you know, you just, yeah, you just, you get overconsumed, you get super emotional. And so that's when you really need to pay attention and take care a little bit more with yourself and take that time to like, go walk outside, get the fresh air, do a breathing exercise. Like I posted this breathing exercise on Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw it a couple weeks ago, and it really, really helped people with calming their nervous system with a very simple thing that's just breathing. It's like closing your eyes. It's the in through one nostril, out through the other one, and you plug each side of your nose. And it's like this breathing exercise. You do it, I'm not even kidding you, like you breathe 10, even just 10 times. It's like you're so relaxed after. It's like simple things like that that go such a long way with like helping us combat all the stress and anxiety of life in general. And then obviously, you know, it's been a rough couple months, 2020. And know, just paying, it's just paying more attention.
Yeah, I agree. I think because we're all grieving for what's going on, and we're feeling a lot of like really heavy emotions, and there's this level of guilt and grief and frustration and anger and sadness. And I'm the same way. I don't consider myself an anxious person. And in my head, I'm like, put your phone down, step away, read a book, do something that you're educating yourself and learning, but not just staring at my phone, seeing every single thing going on. And I was feeling that same rush of just like stress. And especially for, you know, like the Black community, who is just been forever trying to have their voices heard. And I've seen so many people saying like, hey, make sure that you're taking care of yourself and taking a break. And, you know, you more than anyone deserve to just like disconnect and relax right now. So I think like just even as simple, like you said, taking a breath, like stopping and taking time for yourself is so important for really just all of 2020.
Everything. Yeah. And for everyone too, I feel like we all function so much better as human beings if we take the time to do what's good for us, right? It's like, you can be so much better at your relationship if you just make sure you do the things that are important for you. You can be so much better at work if you just make sure you balance that thing between, like, you know, you're not putting all your needs aside and pushing them aside and pushing them aside, because we all explode at a certain point. And it's the same with what's going on. Like, you can be so proactive. You can have the conversations at home. You can have conversations with your friends. You can go out and protest, but then you can't. You don't want to overdo it where you're taking on so much emotion and so much, you know, things where you don't like take a break, take a breath, take a bath, do a breathing exercise, just take a day off so that you can be that much more proactive after you do a little bit of self-care. And so that's why, you know, I love the term self-care, because a lot of people are like, I don't even know what that means. Like, where do I start? And it's, there's really no boundary on self-care. It's like, it could be like, for instance, this week I decided I wanted to do a cleanse. So, and that's my way of being taking self-care, because I've, you know, haven't eaten the greatest in quarantine and, you know, drank a lot over the weekend and, like, you know, whatever. It's like, and so I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to take the time to do me. I'm going to do extra walk at, you know, during the day to get extra cardio. I'm going to like do my green juices and my soups and like put a little extra, you know, umph into my diet, just so by Friday I can feel so much better about myself and I could be so much more like not guilty. You know what I mean? Like, I hate using the word guilty, but we all have that guilt in so many different ways, by the way, not just when it comes to our bodies, but like you said, guilt in this time for like not doing more or, you know, it's just, I can't stress it enough. And as you guys know, you know, obviously wellness and living a wellness lifestyle is such a broad spectrum. And that's why I love it so much, because you can cover so many things when it comes to living like a wellness-y lifestyle. And I, you know, I tell people, they ask kind of like what the easiest number one thing to get started would be. And I always recommend, you know, baby steps and implementing, adding things into your life instead of just feeling like you need to take things away immediately. And so it's like, I add, you know, I take these greens and I take these minerals. And so like, that's a really good way, because you're adding things into your diet. You're not necessarily changing things. Or like, it's the same with self-care. Maybe you never took a bath, but you've had a bathtub, or maybe you've never, you know, sat at night with a cup of tea and lit an incense and a candle and like sat there in peace and quiet for 5 minutes. Like, those are just simple things that you can add in, right? Without being like, I'm just going to wake up today and like take out all these things and stuff, you know, no gluten, no this, no that, you know. It's like adding things in slowly and all the different things that you can learn and take away. Then, you know, eventually you kind of start substituting things like, okay, today I feel better because I'm not, you know, so unhealthy or so whatever it is. And so you can start subtracting, and then eventually it's elimination. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it's funny because I can't remember when this was probably like months ago now. Definitely pre-pandemic, but Ryan was talking to us on the morning show about his like nighttime routine about like lighting some
incense
and like putting the phone down and that. And it, to me at the time, I was like, just like put your head on a pillow and go to sleep, dude, you know? But now I'm realizing that like, now we've created this like nighttime routine where we put our phones down and we've been like reading. So we'll read for like 30 minutes before we go to sleep. And then we do the CBD, and like, literally my sleep has gone from like being at like a 6 or 5 to like
to nine, being a 10.
So
this is because I mean, I'm sure, as you know, because you've been on the radio show with Ryan forever, like, he was a horrific sleeper when we first started dating. He was like, it was impossible. And I was always a good sleeper, so I was like, this has got to change, because I can't sleep if you're not sleeping. Like, this is not working. And so it took a long time because, you know, men are stubborn. We all know that. And they're like stuck in their ways and they like think they know what's right. But eventually, like, you know, he obviously, I got a lot of trust with him and he really trusts everything that I have to do and recommend. And also it's, you know, a trick of the trade for a good relationship is you don't actually ever teach them anything. You let them figure it out themselves. So you don't really like, it's like children, you know, you're like, I'm just going to be over here doing my thing. And if you want to join, I'm really happy over here. And eventually they're like, I would love to come over there. What are you doing? And then they eventually come over and then they learn. And you're like, you just have to figure it out yourself. Anyway, side note, relationship.
That's really funny.
Because it's true. Yeah. And, you know, men don't like to be told what to do. Like rarely, certain things they do, but like most of the time they don't want that. They don't want to feel like you're, you know, babying them or mothering them. When it comes to like health and wellness and being healthier and like, you know, there's a fine line of being a mom and like not being a mom. So it took a long time.
They're like, can I get some of that?
Yeah, exactly. If you just keep doing your thing. And I'm like, I'm so happy. I feel so great with this stuff. And he's like, oh, I should try that maybe. And so it took a while, but like he sleeps like a baby with absolutely nothing to help him except for he loves taking CBD, obviously. And that was because I was like, listen, you're staring at the news till you go to bed. Then you're sitting reading emails. Then you're doing phone calls late. You're like, you know, you're killing yourself essentially because you're just not learning. Like, I'm like, the thing too is we all make our own schedules, right? Like we're the ones to make the schedule, not other people. We're the ones. So if the schedule is beating you down, you're the one that has to fix the schedule. And it's like, it's just changing it. Like no one's going to make you feel guilty. No one's going to think that you're working less. It's just changing that schedule so that you have those extra times before you go to sleep to actually have the time to yourself. And like you said, you're reading a book. You're like just not staring and consuming yourself with like things that are going to get your brain turning or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked by the information that Ryan Seacrest sleeps. I thought he just went 24 hours back to back to back. It's new information for me.
And you know what? Now that he does sleep, he's like, loves his 8 hours. Like before he'd be like, I'm fine with 5-6 hours. No, now he's like in bed at 8:30 when he has to wake up at 4:30. And he's like, he will make sure he gets those 8 hours. Cause you realize how important it is. Once you like get that good sleep, it's, I mean, your mind's quicker. You don't have brain fog as much. You like, you know, there's just so much more energy. And it's like when you're an entrepreneur or just a person that works a lot in general, like you need all those things to function well.
I think sleep definitely, I think people really underestimate sleep just in general.
I think so too.
And like, it's like all that of mentality. You get like a certain age and you physically can't not get a certain number of hours because you're like dead the next day.
Totally. I'm like that. I don't do well.
Yeah, same. Sleep. I'm like really need sleep. It's vital. Wait, so how long have you had the CBD line? And is it powder? Is it oil?
Consistency. She's right. Consistency. Yeah. So I've been working on Bottle and Stone for over a year, and we just finally launched in April, and we have our own farm in Vermont because the only way that I could actually know if the product was trustworthy in order to give people was if I had my own farm and knew where it was grown, because hemp is incredible. I wanted to get into the business because when you're a holistic person, and I have a lot of people ask me for advice on holistic remedies to so many things that are prescribed prescription drugs, that CBD had a lot of solution to many of the main ones that were subscribed, like pain and anxiety and sleep and all those things. So I was like, wow, this is incredible. But I couldn't really find a brand that I felt was trustworthy enough that I would recommend, because normally I just recommend brands to people that I've like vetted and figured out myself, and then I like to share them. And so when I started doing all the research and talked to like all these different manufacturers and different people, like nobody could tell me where they had even visited the farm, nor did they care, nor like, and there's a mold issue with CBD. There's a lot that goes into making a good CBD oil. And so I felt so defeated because I was like, how is it that I can't find one person that cares as much as I do about where the hemp is coming from and how it's grown and where the, like, you know what I mean? It's just, I have so many passions, like, about also being a sustainable farm, at least, or at least trying to be, you know, friendly. And it's just, there's so many things. So I got really lucky and put in contact with these farmers in Vermont who had just started, and we decided to become partners. And so they are my farmers for Bottle and Stone. And it's the greatest thing ever to actually physically be able to go there and be with the plants and see them seeded, like do the seedlings and see them planted. And like now, you know, we're certified organic and we're turning into biodynamic, which is like, I don't know if you guys know anything about biodynamic, but it's a way of sustaining a farm without having to bring any outside sources. So it's all animals and bugs and insects and things working together so that it functions without having to have a spray or, you know, anything else. And it's the importance of the soil. That's like, the soil is the most important, which is why we have so many digestive issues and cancers and problems as Americans, because our soil is so bad and we're eating all these vegetables and fruits for farms that don't care about the soil, and they're high in iron and high in all these things that are fucking up, excuse my language, our systems. Sorry.
No, it's true though. Like I've like, you know, it's funny because I look to you, like you are my end all be all for like anything in terms of, cause I know you do your research and like you, like anything you recommend, I trust with like wholeheartedly, because I know that like you vetted everything, because I go to the farmer's market because of that reason too. You know, it's like these people tell me exactly where the chickens are and like where, you know, like the process in which they, what they eat and like all these things. And it's weird because I've now started to kind of realize, like I've just been way more into realizing what I'm putting in my body and like where it's coming from.
Where it comes from. Yeah. And I think it's a huge topic. And I think a lot more people are becoming aware of that. And it's an incredible, incredible movement. But that's a whole other subject I could talk about for ages. But anyway,
but even with your almond milk, like I buy almond milk at the store all the time. And when I saw you making it, I was like, this looks super easy.
So easy.
I can do this. And now I'm like, I will never buy almond milk for the rest of my life because so easy and there's no preservatives. Like it's cost effective.
Just almonds and water. Yes, yeah. Of course.
So it's just like, it's eye opening. You know what I mean? Like it's really, yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I do my blog.
Wait, Shayna, do you make almond pulp crackers from the almonds? Oh, yeah? Are they good?
I make all kinds of weird things. Like, I do quiche crusts and pie crusts. And, like, I literally buy these, like, throwaway buy dishes. And then I just make different things. And I literally freeze them and put them in a Ziploc bag and just keep them in the freezer. So if I want, like, a quiche, if I have family over or I just feel like having a quiche, you just scramble the eggs and put it in the quiche and bake it. And you have quiche crust. Then I've made so many things out of almond pulp, like, crackers are actually the most annoying to me because I hate rolling them out and then baking them, and like it's time consuming. But you can make them and they're great. But I love the pie crust.
Becca's making fun of me because I try to make almond pulp crackers for her and she like
no, I gagged. They were so gross.
I didn't do any rolling though, so clearly I'm not doing
it. Yeah, I'm like, Tanya, did you do the rolling?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah, I think I'll try Shayna's and give him a second shot, but I kind of wrote Tanya off on her almond pulp crackers.
Yeah, maybe I'll use your recipe. I should definitely use your recipe because I've done that before.
They're on the website. I can send it to you. It's much probably better. I don't know what you made, but
Your website? Everybody should definitely check that out.
Shaynaskitchen.com. And then my Instagram is shaynas.kitchen. We post recipes on both platforms, so it's easy to get.
Yeah. I highly suggest you guys follow because it's true. Like you give a lot of recommendations for things and I really, really, really trust you. So
thank you.
It's a good for health and wellness. It's definitely a good follow for sure.
Yeah. I won't share something unless I wholeheartedly believe in it, because otherwise it's like, why would I share? It's a bad way to be on Instagram because so many influencers make money through like paid partnerships. And I'm like, refuse unless I actually believe in the brand. But you know, I've been pretty lucky, and brands that I actually love end up reaching out to me because they see the like me talking about them. And then, so anyway, back to Bottle and Stone. I actually have the package here. Oh,
it's so cute.
Yeah.
Box.
Where's my camera?
So is it an oil that you just put like under your tongue, or do you put it in something?
Yeah, so you can put it in something, but it's really made for the easiest way that you can do it is just put it under your tongue and leave it for 30 seconds and then swallow it. So we did natural flavor and then cinnamon flavor, and then we have a mint spray as well, and we have different milligrams for that. That's just our first line. We're getting ready to come out with some other stuff hopefully later this summer, but we wanted to do something. It's 100% full spectrum oil. So full spectrum means we use the entire plant, which has the most benefits from it. And then we use an extraction called the CO2 extraction, which is really not much different than an ethanol extraction. I know that sounds like gibberish, but it makes it taste better. So it's not such a hempy, like a lot of people don't like the taste of hemp because it reminds them of marijuana. So we did like a more expensive extraction so that it tasted less like marijuana. And then, yeah, it's 100% organic, 100% natural. It's mixed with MCT oil. That's also organic. And yeah, we're going to come out with a little bit higher milligram as well. The 600 is definitely my favorite, but sometimes 300 works for people. They don't need the 600. It's really all preference of what, you know, you just have to listen to your body and like, I'll take the 300 during the day if I like have a talk or something like this or whatever. So it's not like, you know, taking a bunch because I just don't think it's necessary. And then at night, I always take the 600. What are you smiling at?
I just love that you need like that. You need to get nervous talking to us. Like,
well, you guys like don't get nervous talking to you, but the other podcasts, the people I don't know, I get nervous.
Sometimes I get nervous before our own podcast. So I totally get it. I wish I had CBD when I was in high school and had to give like book reports and stuff, because that was my worst nightmare.
Same, girl. I was a horrible tester, horrible speller, horrible reader. I was behind in school.
I would cry. Like, I literally would be doing my book report, and because of the nerves and stress of standing in front and reading and having to keep my place when I was reading, I would just start crying. Like, my reaction was just...
Really?
It was horrible, yes.
I loved book report days.
I'm
I was
sure
one of
would.
The first.
You would.
No one's surprised.
See, I had horrible stage fright, too. Horrific stage fright. Like, I was in honors choir. I loved to sing growing up. And every single time I got, like, a main part, I would call in sick. I couldn't do it. So I get it.
Yeah, that's mine's funny. Always stemmed from having to read. Like, if I'm standing in front of people and I'm not reading something or reading, like, one time Tanya and I presented at, like, a iHeart podcast thing, and it was just on the prompter. I had, like, maybe one sentence to read, and I blacked out. I was just like, just get through this one sentence, and it'll be over.
And Becca was like, I need to memorize it. I need to memorize it. Like, I was like, yeah. It's literally five words, and it's going to be right in front of us.
You know, we all have
when you're
things.
Not used to it, though. I mean, Tanya, you read things on a radio station every day. Yeah. So you're like, it's like butter.
It's like butter.
It's like not even, she didn't even think about it.
No.
I'm just like frantically trying to memorize so I don't have to read.
By the way, I'd be traumatized too if I had to read something on a prompter in front of people. I would be like, oh my God, my life's over.
Thank you. It was bad. I did not. Don't recommend.
Don't recommend it.
We're just going to CBD. I'll just send you CBD.
Yeah,
well,
perfect.
Thank you. Seriously, thank you so much for coming on. Say the website one more time, because you guys, I'm telling you, Red Star and I use this every night and we're like obsessed. Red Star is what I call my boyfriend on the podcast.
Red Star, nice name.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, we use it every night and we are big fans, so definitely check
out
this line.
Thank you. Yeah, so the website's bottleandstone.us for the CBD line, and then my wellness blog, which is everything else, is shaynaskitchen.com.
Awesome.
Thank you
so
for
much
having
for
me.
Shana.
Of course.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
I need some of that CBD oil. I love trying CBD products. And do you love it as much as you say you do?
Honestly, I really, really, really love it. And I'm also like that's a whole, it's a whole nother topic, but I'm like clean sweeping my life. Like I'm not, I don't want to take any, like, the UTI situation got me on this whole kick of revamping my whole, like, laundry, new detergents. I'm using wool balls with essential oils, and I want to get rid of my cleaning products, and I want to trade out my supplements and, like, make sure that everything's just, like, non-toxic.
Clean and natural. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart.
And this CBD oil is such.
Yeah, I'm going to get
no more
some.
UTIs, 2020.
That's right. Yeah. But I hashtag. Do have to say, the amount of Scrub Sisters, I'm obsessed with you, because the amount of messages I received from people that have them exactly like me, like chronically, was insane. Like literally the amount of messages I got was wild.
It sucks. Like that many people deal with that. I was thinking that. I'm like, that's so great that everyone is able to give advice, but like it sucks that so many people
but
deal
there's
with
like
this.
Everybody does different things. That's what's even crazier is yeah. like everybody has a different remedy, so I'm going to try them all.
Yeah, it's what you should do. Just try everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It works.
Okay, so I think we have an email and then we have a game, but we need to talk about the rules of the game and what the game means. Because we kind of discussed it, but we also did not sort out the details. So the plan was that we're going to play a game. Mark has a game. Tanya and I don't know anything about it or what's it about, but whoever loses has to read the last four messages from their significant other without context. So you just have to read, and you don't even have to read what you said in between. Do you like how I'm already assuming you're the loser?
I'm like, if it's anything like the last game, I'm in for it. So I'm really hoping it's a different type of game, Mark.
I'm like, so when you go to do it, you don't have to read your side, Tanya.
It feels invasive to just read a conversation between you two, but reading the other person's texts out of context, that sounds funny to me.
Yeah, because I didn't even look at mine to know what they could be, so it could be interesting.
All right, so we're all on board for this?
I'm on board.
Okay, let's read the email first. That's
what
a tease.
What kind of game you got?
I'll tell you in a minute.
That's a tease.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Yeah, we learned that in radio school. You tease it and then you do it later. Anywho, wedding drama. My friend is getting married on August something, in August. She keeps predicting COVID-19 will get better and she'll be allowed to have her planned guest count of 150 people. She is not considering things like her older relatives or any friends and family that are doing everything they can to stay safe and social distance during this time. My husband's job has been majorly affected. He is a professional athlete, and once his sport is back, players' families will be under extremely strict guidelines of social distancing. So if I go, I would have to make the decision to not see my husband for several months. I'm the matron of honor, so not being there doesn't seem possible, but I'm not comfortable being at a gathering over 100 people. I'm so stressed out not knowing what she's going to do and honestly very upset that I have to choose to compromise my health while I think my friend is being extremely selfish trying to force her wedding to happen in this climate. How do I have a conversation with her about where I'm coming from without it coming across that I don't care about her big day? First of all, Anonymous, I appreciate that you're anonymous, but if there's a woman in our audience who's getting married in August and her matron of honor is married to a professional athlete, I think you're going to be outed. Anyway, I'll turn it over to you two first.
Oof, this is rough, honestly. First, I would just like to say I'm sorry that you're going through this, because I would be so stressed out as well.
Yeah, man.
I know. I guess it's different. I haven't had this experience because, you know, JoJo was supposed to have her wedding and she ended up moving it. And it was just a no-brainer because she, first of all, it was like she wants to have a proper bachelorette party and they want to have a honeymoon. And it's all that kind of stuff is also tampered with on top of having to worry about your older relatives and your friends and family who are, you know, still not comfortable going out. So it's hard because your wedding day, I do feel, is your day and you're allowed to be selfish. But I do think in this situation, everyone's not comfortable yet. And I think, I guess being hopeful is one thing because it's August and it seemed like when we started this in March that there's no way we'd still be doing this in August. But as things get closer, I'm surprised that she hasn't gone, okay, maybe we need to reassess. So I don't know because I know how much goes into planning a wedding and like it's not just easy to be like, I'm just going to move my wedding. But
I know it's so sticky. It's actually very interesting because Red Star last night was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, oh my, I didn't even think about that. You know what I mean? First of all, it's very far away. And second of all,
1 month away.
1 month away, but still that's far for me. And B, I'm like, nobody wants to see me or like, do you know what I mean? Like nobody wants to hang. So it's like, why would I even want to, I'm not going to want to do anything when like nobody wants to hang. Does that make sense? So like, in my mind, if I was getting married in August, it wouldn't even be a question for me to like have the wedding. I would probably get married, like get to do the actual wedding, like get the paperwork and like be married and then have the ceremony a year, like postpone it a year. So the fact that that's not even crossing her mind, I don't know how do you tell her that? You need to tell her that.
Maybe anonymous. Maybe you
can have... No, she doesn't need to tell her that?
No. Oh.
No. I've got the answer here.
Oh, God.
Because this is actually a great situation.
Oh.
This wedding is never happening. There is zero chance 150 people are showing up. The venue's not going to allow it. People aren't going to come. This isn't happening. So there's no danger in you being gung-ho, being like, yep, sounds great, can't wait, going to be awesome, because no. It's never going to happen.
Mark, I don't know. In the California bubble. People in the South and the Midwest are having weddings. People are going to the weddings. This is not, like, how we live out here is not how everyone else is doing it.
Becca makes a point.
I think
she does make a point.
I think she needs to have a conversation. I think she just says what she said to us, like, hey, I know this day is not about me, but as your matron of honor, I wanted to talk to you because I am really struggling with, you know, making the right decision. And I want to make sure that this day for you is the best that it could possibly be. I know that you can't wait to marry Bobby Joe and you just want to be his wife. So I think y'all should go ahead and get married, have your day and become, I don't know if his name is Bobby Joe. So, but
wouldn't I see what you crazy did there. If it was,
but I, you know, and maybe we do a big celebration so that everyone can be there. Everyone feels comfortable. You can have your honeymoon, your bachelorette party, and just kind of make it more. So it's about it being the best for her and doesn't come across as you being just worried about yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's not even just about her. Like, I feel like all the people that are invited are feeling the exact same way.
But
That's right. But I don't know that it's Anonymous's place to say that to the bride. That seems weird to me.
Well, she's the matron of honor. I feel like if anyone has the place, it's her.
It sounds like it's going to really upset this bride. This bride has a plan, and she's not veering from it. And if you're not on board, she's going to be pissed.
And get off the train.
I think you might have to get off the train. I say give it, what is it, June 19th, the wedding's in August. I say give it a month because this is getting worse every day. So I still don't think this wedding's going to happen. But give it a couple of weeks, give it a month, and then you don't have to make a final decision. But honestly, I don't want to avoid my husband for 2 months. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good answer.
Maybe, you know.
Why would you have to avoid him for 2 months?
I've heard that they're doing like really gnarly, like strict rules with the professional athletes coming up.
I don't know what sport he's in, but you know, I know baseball pretty well and that's been a nightmare. And hopefully by the time everyone hears this, everything's been worked out and there's a season planned. But yeah, they're going to isolate these athletes. So they basically go to the field and then they go back to some sort of hotel compound situation where they see nobody except maybe family. But if you're, they probably have rules that if your family's out and about, then you can't see family anymore.
If any of our scrub sisters have had to cancel their wedding or postpone or have had anything like this happen where they've had to make this decision, maybe, you know, post it on the Facebook group and maybe she'll see.
Tell her how to handle it.
Because I don't know, like, it's easy for everyone to be like, just, you know, cancel the wedding, move it. But you know how much work goes into that. So
I know that's a thing. Like, I don't even know what work would go into canceling a wedding or postponing a wedding.
It doesn't sound, planning a wedding sounds like a nightmare to me. And then having to replan and postpone the wedding, my brain can't comprehend. At that point, I'd be like, forget it. Who needs marriage?
Right. Or just like go to a courthouse together.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably, if I was just like ready to get married and be a, you know, married to this man and be his wife, I'd be like, let's go to the courthouse. We'll do our thing, shoot some amazing photos, and then we'll do a huge celebration where everyone can be there and be a part next year or whatever. So, but, all right. So I don't know if we gave great advice, but hopefully it helped in some capacity.
Well, I think we kind of told her what her gut is telling her.
Yeah. You got to go with your gut. You got to be like Tanya out in front of that gym.
Yeah, the gym.
Your gut's always right.
Is the wedding.
It's so interesting because I'm like, I'm also thinking like, am I going to go to the nail salon?
Good question. Are you?
Thinking about it. Would like to.
I got
to.
My hair cut.
And how was that?
I felt okay because I wore a mask and she wore a mask.
Right, right, right.
And they say that really gets you down like under 5% chance of transmission. So I felt pretty good about that.
Well, that's how it is at the restaurants too.
I don't know. But we were sitting at a table and like chatting with everybody, and people had to take their masks off to eat. That's not how it is at a restaurant.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We were with like other kids' parents and stuff. That's anyway, true. Here's the game. Ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This game is called Friends by the Numbers.
Oh no!
I'm going to give you a number that there's no reason for you to particularly know. You might, but no reason for you to particularly know it. And then the other person will say higher or lower after you guess. And the loser has to read the last four texts from their partner out of context. Can you please do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first?
I'm not sure I understand the game, but okay.
It's easy. Okay. We've done similar things before. You'll be fine. Okay. So rock, paper, scissors, and then shoot on the fourth whatever. Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. To double scissors, we're going to try that again. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. It's double paper. This is why the podcast works, because you two are so in sync with each other. And rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Scissors cuts paper. Becca tried to deke her out by going right back to paper. Tiny saw that coming a mile away and cut her right up. All right, so here we go. Tanya, you will go. Actually, you'll do higher and lower first because you won rock, paper, scissors. Becca, okay. You have to give me an answer for this one. Friends did 236 episodes. How many episodes was Gunther in? He's been on our show. I may have even asked you this question before, but that's the first question today. How many episodes was Gunther in out of the 236, Becca?
I'm going to go 94.
94. Is it higher or lower than 94, Tanya?
Lower.
It is 148. That's a point for Becca.
I almost guessed 137. Dang.
I was going to say it's like six.
What?
No, I like blanked. I couldn't remember. Okay.
All right. That's one for Becca. By the way, we're doing best 3 out of 5. So Becca's got the lead right now. 1-0. We all know the cast of Friends was paid $1 million an episode for the final season or two. What was their salary during the first season? What did each cast member get per episode in their first season? Tanya, you need to give me an answer on this one. Becca will say higher or lower.
$250,000.
$250,000 during the first season. Becca, is it higher or lower than that?
I'm going to go lower.
It's considerably lower. In fact, it's almost 10% of Tanya's answer, $22,500.
Whoa.
I don't think they start you at $250,000 per episode on a sitcom.
I was like that.
When did they start making $1 million, though? That's right, what I was weird.
Well, that was towards the end, but during their first season, they definitely, because that was a pilot, they didn't even know if it was going to be successful or not.
All right, so this could be it. This could be the final go-round here if Tanya can't pull this one out. Becca, I'll need an answer from you. Tanya will say higher or lower. Becca, how many different songs does Phoebe sing during the course of the 11 seasons of Friends, or 10 seasons of Friends?
Three.
She sings three different songs. Tanya, is it higher or lower than three?
And it's not three?
It is not three.
I want to say lower, but I think it's higher, so I'm going to go with higher.
According to my source, Phoebe sings 47 different songs over the course of the series.
Oh, great. Okay.
So it is considerably higher.
Yeah.
It is now 2-1. Becca's still in the lead.
I thought it was 3-2.
I was like, is it not three?
It's not three.
All right, Tanya can tie it up here. Becca can win it. Tanya, an answer from you. Okay. How many sexual partners does Joey have over the course of the series?
Wow. Well, that we saw?
Well, that were somehow, not that we met them necessarily, they could have been referred to, but somewhere in the script, these were referenced.
100.
100. All right, Becca, for the win. Is it
lower.
Higher or lower than 100? It is 17. Becca is your winner. Tanya, bust out that phone.
100.
What? He like had sex every night. What do you mean 17? I need to fact check this game that you got your answers from, because 47 songs from Phoebe and 17 partners for Joey is falser than I can say false.
I will send you my data on that, my source, my research, my bibliography. All right, Tanya, here we go. The last four on his side.
Okay. I mean, they're not very interesting. Still have a headache? Question mark. Okay. Mine is gone.
Well, no, that's good. That's good. That's good. I like that. Okay. So he's checking in on you because of last night's tequila?
Correct.
Okay. Next one?
He said, mine is good. Gone. Mine is gone.
Okay.
And then I said something back, and then he sent sad face, sad face, sad faced, rest.
Okay, well, that was a little bit of a letdown, but still.
Yeah, I thought when you were reading them before the game that they were going to be good because you were, like, laughing.
Well, like, it just it doesn't make sense out of context, but I guess I said it earlier in the podcast that I had a headache from my hangover, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
But even before that, it's even more boring. Finishing up, leaving within 30 to 45 minutes or so. Leaving now.
Did he send you that, like, when you're doing the show, did he send you that?
No, that was, like, yesterday.
Oh, because he's coming over, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mine aren't that interesting either. It would have been a letdown either
way. It was worth
a
shot.
But if you got me on if you got me on a different day, it'd be real dicey. Never know.
Let us know when that day happens and we'll play again.
It's mostly the days when I'm not, like, when I'm with him, our conversations are, like, boring because I'm with him. Mm-hmm. When I'm not with him,
spicy,
that's when they get good.
Gotcha. All the good stuff is verbal on the days that you see each other.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Physical.
Bingo, bongo, bango, Mark.
Well, on that note, have a great trip to the desert. Have so much fun.
Mark, did you do an update on, are you going to Milwaukee or nothing?
Still nothing there. Probably, certainly right now it's very heavily probably not going to Wisconsin. I am going to go to Arizona next week and see my parents, which is a little bit concerning because Arizona is spiking like crazy right now. Oh. But I'm just going to go visit them and then leave. Like, we're not going to go out of the town. We're not going to go clubbing. So
I don't know if you can even go clubbing there.
Probably not. But they've got a pool. So I'll just hang out with my parents for a few days and then come back. But they're getting lonely. So I'm going to head out there.
Yeah.
That's nice. Nice change of scenery too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that things work out and y'all are able to go on your traditional vacation, but...
Thank you. That would be nice, but even if we do, it won't be a traditional. We won't be able to do a lot of the stuff that we like to do, you know, water parks and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, water park sounds like a freaking haven for COVID.
And fungus.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Yikes. All right. We love you. Bye.